listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Bob Dean of The Bob Dean Show. Yay! Coming to you from finally sunny Southern California. The last, several days, weeks, have just torrential rains, which, you know, Southern California isn't used to. For everybody else, it is like snowstorms or 5 feet of snow everywhere else. Anyway, we're working on that. I got a cat cleaning himself in the background there because, and if you notice my new hair, we'll talk about that later. Guest today, Michael Sandoval, our correspondent from Pattaya, Thailand. Michael, hello, welcome.
Hey,
can you hear me, Bob? Michael?
I can hear you, Bob.
Now that I'm seeing you, I'm doing great.
Well,
how you been?
It's great to see you. It's great to be back on the show. We haven't been on the show, you know, haven't done the show together in a while, and it's just great to see you and be part of the Bob Dean Show once again, and especially with your cat in the background there.
Who happens to be cleaning himself?
He's taking a bath, and that's just very appropriate for the Bob Dean Show.
Well, and of course, with my background too, my new bookcases that came from the alley in Beverly Hills, but I'll tell you about that later. Let's look at your hair.
Hey, how do you like
you shave
it?
Shave the sides. You look
nice,
freaking awesome.
Yeah, you look awesome, nice, Mike. I think. Well, thank you, Bob. You look good too. I like what you
call,
got going.
Hold
on,
Mike. Mike, we have a call in. Who's hello, caller? Who might this be?
I'm a call in.
Well, who is it? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Yes. Who are we speaking with? Hello?
Do we lose the caller?
Well, you know, I put the number up on social media, so it could have been one of our other fans, Mike, you know.
Oh, the other fan? The other fan?
Okay. Listen, whoever, the caller, thank you so much. I don't know. It sounded kind of like Lee Cirillo. I don't know. Maybe Cindy Bell. But we're having some technical difficulties, guys. I guess it's because of the rain. It's nothing on your end, caller. Unfortunately, I didn't pay the bill. I don't know.
Thanks for trying, caller.
Thank you for trying, and give it a try later. But thank you, Sam. Yeah. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, I want to say congratulations to Sam Hessen of LA Talk, the man at LA Talk Radio, on 16 years broadcasting from gracious and growing Sherman Oaks area.
Congratulations,
Los Angeles. But thank you, Sam, for having me be a part of your organization. I love, appreciate it very much. And happy anniversary. Yay. Now, Michael, back to you. A little background for those who are tuning in today that haven't seen you on the show before. Michael and I do stand up, or we have done stand up quite a bit in the past. That's how we met, through the LA School of Comedy, Sunda Kroonquist, the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful, graciously growing
Westwood,
between Beverly Hills and Santa Monica. Hey, Cindy, how are you? Oh, and a shout out real quick to Kathy St. George, our co-hostess, and Linda Schneider, Linda B. Schneider in Pittsburgh, who has been filling in as well. But Kathy,
Linda,
we wish you a speedy recovery. Kathy's had she's down in Palm Beach, and she's had some issues, but she's going to be fine, and we miss you.
Get well soon.
Yay. And kiss Maybelline on the lips for me. Maybelline's her dog. All right. Now, and Michael and I did stand up together. He's a Los Angeles native. I thought about that too, Mike, is that, and not to go back to what we were talking about, the, you know, the marked safe in the rain, you know, but I was thinking while I was in the shower that, you know, you're an LA native and your family is from, you know, from here. So that would, you know, you would understand the, situation with rain. And
I understand. I completely understand the situation with rain. But just when, you know, looking at the big picture, you know, rain is not really an emergency situation. Flooding is, and mudslides are, and I get it. And it doesn't need to be I know you're not, but it doesn't need to be this debate about whether rain is, you know, what rain is and all of that. It was just a funny joke. I made a joke. And other people have made the same joke about Californians, you know, rain freaks them out, and, you know, they got to mark themselves safe. from rain. Okay.
Listen, I know I took it.
Usually you just carry an umbrella and everything's okay. But in California and LA, you gotta go online. You gotta mark yourself safe from the rain. Okay. And
I've never had to mark myself safe from anything. And I just wanted to be part of the cool club, you know?
Well, I'm you know, in all honesty, and I get it because in LA you don't have storms, big storms all the time. It's just it doesn't happen all the time. You can go years and not have a big storm.
Yeah.
So I can understand people could freak out over, you know, there's a big storm. My daughter, I was here and I'm like, oh my God, there's this big storm in LA. And, you know, my daughter's there and she lives near the river. And they were talking about the river was flooding. It was, you know, more water than it's ever had. And I couldn't reach her for a couple of days because she was working and sleeping and whatever. It was not a big deal. But in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I hope she's safe. I hope she's safe from the rain. Only because of all the hype.
See,
I knew she was safe, but because of all the hype, I started to worry. Like,
the rest of the nation or the world hears more, you know, it's more dramatized than we hear, you know, here. I mean, it's bad enough what the, you know, our news agencies broadcast out here, but that's why everybody's calling me going, oh my God, I hope you're okay. And I'm like, well, you know, same thing with the fires. You know, I'm good.
My shoes are a little wet, but.
And I just washed the damn car. But, you know, I was telling my friends out of California that you have to put in perspective that, like, Los Angeles County is like the size of Rhode Island, you know. And so the people that are affected so tragically with the mudslides and all, are, you know, have homes in the hills and such. So, you know, God bless them all.
Yes. I'm not making light of anyone's.
Of
tragedy.
Course not. Of well, let me tell you this. I forgot all about this until, like 10 days ago or so. I put a video. I just started. Well, I have like 5 videos on TikTok. All right. It's like the only reason why it's a long story why I just decided I wanted to do this. Right. And 5 videos. I put up a video. You know, I work at the Mosaic Hotel in Beverly Hills, 125 South Spalding. Please come in and have a cocktail with me. And the pool in back is lovely. And there are, you know, fruit trees in Southern California, you know, lemons, limes, et cetera. So this is back when, you know, a few days ago when the rest of the United States was under ice or snow. So I made this video. You know how I do those stupid videos, you know, Bob Dean moments, you know. And I'm walking around. It's probably a 15-second video. You can see it on TikTok, ladies and gentlemen. where I'm like, hey, it's me, Bob Dean, coming to you from Beverly Hills, California, where the rest of the nation is friggin' freezing. And here I am, and I yank 2 lemons, and I'm, you know, strolling. I go, and I'm making cocktails with fresh lemons. Have a nice day. That was it, right? I get these hate comments from people all over the world, and they're all spelled incorrectly, the punctuation and all that sort of thing, and that, you know, they're using you instead of spelling. And they're like, you wouldn't believe, Mike. You need to go and check it out. Some of the things that people said, and I was just laughing. I'm like, oh my God, I thought I had nothing better to do. once a month I get on Facebook and tell everybody what their problem is after 3 martinis and I still have a half a pack of cigarettes.
Well, you know, it's some people don't realize that we crack jokes for a living.
It's comedy, you know, baby.
They'll get it one day. One day they'll get it. They'll go, oh yeah, that's that guy that was making those comments. He's
well. Speaking of the, you know, comedy, is it, first of all, I follow your posts vicariously, and I am so friggin' happy and proud of you. You are just killing it in Pattaya in the comedy scene, and you know, it looks like you're just having the time of your life. And the people that you're posting with, everybody looks like they're having just such a blast. So I'm really, honestly, I'm very happy for you, man.
Well, you know, I am having a great time, and you got to come out here and you got to check it out, Bob, because you would be having a great time too out here. It's just so much fun. I've met some great people. I met this one guy, He's a great guy. I just met him in a couple bars. He makes the rounds, and he's got a Facebook page where he promotes a lot of different things going on in here in Thailand. And so I met him in a bar a couple of times, and he started doing this radio show. And I was like, "Oh, you're doing a radio show?" And he's got no entertainment experience or anything like that. He's just, I don't know, he knew the guy. And he started doing this. So I kind of, like we do, Bob, you know how we are, right? I kind of pushed my way in. I said, "Hey, you should have me on as a guest, you know?" And I don't even know this guy, but I just met him a few times. But I said, "Hey, you know, he's an American guy." I said, "Hey, you should, have me on the show. I'm in this improv group doing comedy. That's another story." But I told the guy, I said, "You know, you should have me on your show, and I'll talk about the show we're gonna do." He's like, "Great, come in the studio." I came in the studio and was on his show, and the guy that runs the station, was he's like he engineers the show, and so he was in there, and so he was engineering the show. And then when the show was over, he said, "Hey, Mike, you know, you interested in doing a show on the station?" And I said, "Absolutely, I'm interested in doing a show." I mean, that's the, you know, I didn't want to tell him that's the whole reason why
That you
I
shook your head.
weaseled my way. But that was the whole reason why I weaseled my way. But he said, "You want to do a show?" I said, "Absolutely, I want to do a show. I want to do whatever." So it's a full radio show. We play music. He has a license. You know, it's a station. It's a radio station. So we play music, you know, regular.
Well, I've checked it out. Mike's
Music.
Madhouse.
Mike's Madhouse. So I said, "You know, I'm not a DJ yet, but you know, you put me in front of a microphone and camera or whatever, and you know, away I go." So I said, "I'll play some music, and I want to talk. You know, I want to talk. I want to tell my stories. I want to tell my jokes. I want to, you know, do crazy things. You know, I want to, you know, kind of like a, you know, kind of like the old time DJs. You know, like Wolfman Jack or whatever. You know, but." I want to be me, you know. I want
Well,
to do whatever
you're
I
going to kill
want to do.
it. You're going to kill it. I know you well enough and your personality and your sharp wit. It's
So
going
I'm
to be a
having a
real
ball.
ball.
I'm doing that, and I'm having a blast. And I think about you a lot, Bob. I think because you know we talked about before I moved here, and I've been on the show before, and we talked about Thailand. And that was how long ago was that? I had just gotten here. I
So
just gotten
it
here.
hasn't been a year, has it?
It hasn't been a year, but it's been at least 6 months that we've
Yes.
done the show, right? It's been about at least 6 months. So I've traveled around. I've done a lot. I'm doing this radio show now, and
Well, that's what I'm
meeting.
saying about I follow I because you post a lot, and I think that's brilliant. They're quick and precise, and there's so much activity with the clubs and improv and stand up, and now you're Mike's Madhouse. Mike's Madhouse.
Well, you
That's
know,
on
thank you.
BKK1radio.com, correct?
BKK1radio.com. And the great thing about it is all the shows are archived. So we've got about maybe 10 DJs on right for right now. And we all have our own shows, different time slots, you know, according to
Sure.
whatever they're doing. And so all the shows are archived. So if you can't listen live, you can go to the web page and you can just click on a show, and you can hear that show. You can replay that show, and it's just so much fun putting the show together, picking out the music, you know, planning out the show, and I'm just having a ball doing that. And the comedy, I was doing improv comedy. I joined an improv group, and I don't. Have you ever done improv comedy,
I did.
Bob?
As a matter of fact, I when I first moved to Los Angeles, I went through the Groundlings.
The Groundlings. Okay.
Yes, I
Well, I
went through.
made friends with a guy that worked at the that was at the Groundlings. When did you? When was that you were
Oh,
there?
this was 2000. Yes, I know it was before some of you were born, so shut up. 2005, and
Okay.
I started with the Groundlings and. I went through A, B workshops, and then you graduate into the third one, like intro to something or whatever. And then you audition to, workshops A and B, but you had to audition to get into the next phase. And yeah, so I went and did the three sessions. I can't remember what they were called, but yeah, it was very interesting. Go ahead.
Three sessions. That's what I did, but I did it at Second City.
Second City. Fabulous.
In Hollywood. And it sounds like we had a similar career in improv. I did three classes, improv 1, 2, and 3. And then the next one was working on your own show, and then you have to audition and create your own show. And so after the third one, I went another direction. I went into sketch writing, television writing. So I spent I took that class, and then I left Second City because I was doing stand up with you and at School of Comedy.
LA School of Comedy, 1085 Santa Monica Boulevard.
So although I did the training at the Second City, I never actually got to do any improv on stage in LA. And just by chance here, I met some guys. One guy did, he was at the Groundlings, but he was there, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe, when he was at the Groundlings, and did a lot of years there. So he's got a lot of improv experience. So he's got an improv group here. What? And who knew? Awesome. You know? And he's a really funny guy. His name is Sheldon, and he's just a really funny guy. And he's retired. He's a retired guy. All the guys in the group are funny, but I left the group. I'm not doing that anymore. So I'm focusing strictly on the radio show now.
Mike's Madhouse.
So Mike's Madhouse Tuesdays at 1 p.m. I got Crazy Talk and Classic Rock on live on the radio right out of Bangkok. And I do the wacky requests. I do the dedications. I do the shout outs. We do it all. So
I'm going to be calling in with wacky shout out requests. Call in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One night in Bangkok makes a hard man humble.
You know, do some requests, you know, and I got a contest coming up where if you make a request, we're going to put your name in a bucket thing. And we're going to pull a name out, and you're going to win a Mike Sandoval, It's Mike Sandoval t-shirt that I brought from LA to Thailand. So these are collector's items. Can't get them anywhere.
I get up and reach for it. But the last show that I did with Linda, I got up to reach for my hip bone. But the It's Mike Sandoval black limited edition 2 hats. So you gave one for me and one for Dennis. It's on display.
It's on display, and we're going to be giving those away.
I took it. I took one. I had one, and you gave one to me, and one to Dennis. And I picked up. I don't know. I was crunching the I think I'm going to ball cap the bill, you know. And Dennis was like, he got pissed. He's like, you know what? That was supposed to be for Mike because he's going to be big, and that was supposed to be. Like, you're not supposed to touch it. We're supposed to put it behind glass. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's right over there. It's a very cool hat, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dennis, Dennis is right, because with this radio show, I really plan on putting everything in to this show and really making a great a show, you know? I mean, like
you're a natural Sandoval.
You know, we want to do some sketches on air. I'm working on bringing in some of the live acts that perform here in Pattaya that are really good. I'm going to have them come in the studio and perform live. So I have a lot of things planned. I want to make it a really fun madhouse type place. Of course, that's, you know, what else would it be if you give me a show? You give me a show, and it's going to be crazy.
The white Mexican.
And I got to have you come on, Bob. Okay. I got to have you do something, and then I can and you can send it to me, and you can be my LA guy. Like, I'm your Thailand guy.
Exactly.
You can be my LA guy.
Los Angeles.
and you can do some interviews or something, and you can send me the clip, and I can say, and now Bob Dean in LA, here's Bob's moment, you know, and I'll play your little rant or whatever it is that you want to do.
I got a million. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Bob. Absolutely. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm telling you. And then when you come out here, because you got to come out here.
I know.
You and Dennis got to come out here. When you come out here, you come on the show. I'm going to take you around. I'm going to show. Hey, you know what I did, Bob?
Tell me.
My girlfriend wanted to go to a Ladyboy show.
Well, now explain for our audience with the Bob Dean Show. Yay. What a Ladyboy is.
Well, a Ladyboy is like a transgender, right? It's a lady with something extra downstairs is basically what it is. Because here they're very beautiful. And they are, some of them are really stunning and you don't know. You can't tell. They look just, anyway. So, but there's an area right close by where I stay that's kind of like a little gay ladyboy little area, right? So all like cabarets where they do the shows. They have
drag shows
and the whole, and they have, it's all, and my girlfriend and I've been through there a couple times because that's where we do the improv show in one of the little shows where they have theaters where they have a stage. And so she's been wanting to go because she looks and she's like, look at these guys, these ladyboys are beautiful. She's like, oh my God, look at these beautiful. You know what she told me? She said, Thailand ladyboys are very beautiful, but your American ladyboys, she said, they're not so beautiful. Because there are some here.
I'm going to have all kinds of people. Because everybody's so damn touchy anymore around here, you know, they're heavy.
We're in this cabaret theater, and they got the guy dancers, you know, like the almost naked guy dancers, but then they got the lady boy who's like the star, and she's like Lady Gaga or, you know, whatever. They have like three or four that come out and they rotate, they sing a song and they do their little act, and then another one comes out. And it was really entertaining. I was just sitting there having a great time, and my girlfriend's having a great time. And I look out at the theater, the audience, and it's like all, you know, retired guys. It's all these retired guys, all just having a great time, sitting there drinking, and you know, just having a great time. And I was like, you know, it's just such a different world here, you know, where everything's just happening and everyone's having fun, and there's no like hang-ups. It's different than in LA, even though, you know, there's West Hollywood and there's areas and things. It's just a different world here that
everybody just meshes without question.
It's just such an open feeling.
Pretty much what you mean.
It's just an open, like, you know, I don't want to say like everything goes, but I mean, it's just I saw one guy put it more like it's they put more adult responsibility on you as the adult rather than like in the West. It's like you're not trusted to make adult decisions. We have laws and regulations and everything to keep us in line and keep everything regimented, where it seems like here in Asia, in this part of the world, it's like there's more openness, where it's up to you to use your head and don't, you know, mess up, you know, like with traffic. Traffic here is just, we, according to U.S. standards, the traffic here is very chaotic and just crazy and wacky. But then you start to understand, well, but they know how to use it. It's not crazy and wacky and chaotic to them because they understand how the traffic flows and how to, but we look at it and go, oh my God, I can't even cross the street. It's like crossing the street is like a death wish. You know, sometimes that's how we look at it. Like, you know, because it's more like
it's,
you have to figure out when it's okay to cross the street. It's up to you, the pedestrian. You figure it out. Not like, you know, they don't have like lights and walk, don't walk and crosswalk. I mean, they do. They do have those. But it's more like it's on you to figure it out. Like, even if it's even because I'm gonna tell you, traffic lights and signals and cross, that's all just a suggestion here. Those are just suggestions. Traffic lights and stop signs. That seems to be like more like.
But the same time, though, you got what, like 75% less cars. It's scooters and bikes, right?
Oh my God! It's a total scooter.
Because you get hit by a scooter, you know, if you hit by a scooter, you might break a leg. But if you get hit by a Buick, it's a lot worse.
Well, you're on a scooter and you get hit by one of these trucks or something, you know. But I'll tell you my scooter story. Okay, I'll tell you my scooter story because it is a different world here. When I was in LA, I was afraid of motorcycles. I was on the back of a motorcycle. And I fell off of it. I got thrown off the back.
Same thing with me years ago when I was a kid, but terrified of them. Go ahead.
Terrified of bikes. Never got back on a bike. And this is when I was like 20, 25, 24. And I never got back on a bike. And I get here. And this is like the total motor scooter bike world. It's the world of motorbikes here. So I was driving around on a motorbike. My girlfriend's, I bought her a new bike because her old one was, I didn't want to get on the old one.
You talked about that the last time on the show when you guys went on that.
Right. Bike. So yeah. I got the new bike. And riding around, I'm feeling good on the bike now. You know, I'm like, hey, everything's good. I'm riding around like, you know, I live here because I do. So total different perception, except, so this has happened since last time I talked to you. We fell over. We didn't get into an accident, but we came to she hit some sand and lost the balance while we were stopped, and we just fell over.
I'm sorry, but when that happens, I'm glad you guys are okay, right?
Yeah, we were okay. Well, I'll tell you.
It's so comical when something, you know, you just go clunk.
Right. It's like the guy on the tricycle on laughing. We fell over. But it's not a tricycle. This is a friggin' half a ton bike that's fell over. And so I banged up my finger really bad. And I, you know, a couple bruises, but my finger was really smashed up. It was really smashed up. And so I was a little skittish about the bike. I was a little skittish. Then the next couple weeks after that, it was raining and we were parking the bike. And again, she hit like a little greasy area. And the same thing happened. We just went, boop. We just fell over like that. And it was like
something about Asian women drivers, but we can't say that anymore.
No, we can't say that. So it was like twice. It was like twice in like a month or so, and that freaked me out. All of a sudden, I had this fear of bikes again. I didn't want to get on the bike. I was like, I don't want to go. And then we took a trip, and we're driving around, and the car. And now everything is scary. Everything is scaring me now because we had the two little fallovers, and I got banged up. I got banged up pretty good, and you know, blood and everything. I got banged up pretty good, and so now I'm scared. Now I'm scared of bikes. I'm like, I don't want to get back on. I don't want to go.
How big is this bike? That you said like a half a ton. I mean,
not a half a ton, but the thing is heavy. It's like a, you know, like a big Vespa type.
Yeah, so it's Vespa. bigger than a Vespa. I'm picturing a Vespa or, you know, a small Honda or something like that.
It's bigger than a Vespa, but it's like a Vespa-style scooter, but it's big. You know, it's bigger than a little, because they have all the different sizes here. They got the little Vespa thing, the little, and they keep getting bigger until they got the full-size
motorcycle. Sure, it's like, a Caprice Classic versus a Malibu versus a Vega. And I know that half the audience doesn't even know what the hell I'm talking
about. They don't know what we're talking about because America is not a motorbike society the way it is here. I mean, you see everything on bikes here. You see old ladies on bikes. You see old monks on bikes. You see little kids. You see like four little kids on a scooter. a dog standing on the back. You see,
probably because there's probably not as many lawyers over there as there are here, so everything's not litigated. Well, so it's like live and let live and have fun.
And I think that's another thing. I think the laws are different, so that like it is personal responsibility. It's not like you're going to sue over every. You can't sue over every little thing. In America, if you trip over the broken concrete, you sue the city. But here, I don't think that flies. I think they're like, no, you
should. It's like
you should have seen that. You should have seen
the crap. Being a bartender for so many years, the term overserved just pisses me off. It's the same thing. Personal responsibility. You know, I have a responsibility to take care of my customer, but, you know, they have a responsibility. If they know they're starting to, you know, and it's the same thing, you know, if they trip over the curb, they should have been looking. Well, I mean, you know, yeah. Accidents happen, you know, like when I fell before, but the whole litigious society here is crazy. So it's nice. So see, I can ride that scooter in my Speedo with my little wicker hat, you know, and just get right in.
I see these guys doing it here. I see them doing it, and it's great. I really had fun at the cabaret looking around and seeing these, you know, older retired guys out there having fun. And just everyone is just like, and it's a whole neighborhood. It's a whole like maybe block sized neighborhood of just all bars and cabarets and ladyboys and massage parlors. And just it's just all this great little area.
Yeah, we used to have areas like that in every city, but they've all been cleaned up. And now what's there? Stupid clubs and bars owned by people like Kid Rock.
Yeah, but they were. These places aren't seedy, though.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I beg your pardon.
You know what I mean? Like in America, though, that kind of areas and venues tend to be seedier. Where this seedy kind of, you know,
the club thing, it's just when you threw in massage parlor, I guess is where I should have thought before I spoke, but so it's a classy massage parlors.
There's like
no happy ending.
Well, they have those too, like, but they have like regular, like massage is like going to the doctor here. Like if you don't feel good, you go get a massage. If your back hurts, you go get a massage.
It helps.
You know, if you have a headache, you go get a massage. Everything is a massage. So there, massage parlors are everywhere. And guys getting like a real massage, work out this cramp.
It's therapeutic, and you know, it's great for everything.
So those are everywhere.
Well, that thought, ladies and gentlemen that are trying to call in, I'm sorry we've had some tech difficulties. Thanks for the thought. We're not ignoring you, but we're having some tech difficulties. So thanks for trying to call in. And back to you, Mike. You were saying about
we really want to talk to the viewers out there with their questions and their comments. I know we really want that. So we apologize that we're not able to accommodate you there. But the area here is it's more like a Vegas feel. It's not like the dirty part of town or the green. None of it. Even the really adulty, you know, like the most adultish areas are still not, they're still like, oh, nice. They're not like, it's not like, you don't feel like you're going down the dark, dirty alley or something. It's just,
you know. And hoping that when you leave that you don't see your boss or your neighbor or your mom.
I know that feeling, but yeah. No, that's the only thing here is you don't want to see your girlfriend or your girlfriend coming by or one of her 25 girlfriends. One of her 25 girlfriends. So
that's when you get a hat like this.
You get a hat with hair, or you dye your hair a different color.
You look friggin' awesome, man. And not that you look bad before, but you know, you look maybe it's a the filter or whatever, but you look 20 years younger.
Well, you know,
and I mean that with the highest form of flattery, and I, you know.
Well, thank you. You look good too. I like the hair on top. You look like you. When you put that on, you look like you're ready to go play tennis, though.
Exactly. I was going to say, sort of like
you need a racket. You need a racket, and you would have everybody fooled.
Or sort of like Bruce Jenner, if I was in track, you know. Whoever he is now.
That guy. That's a... I'm telling you, you got to come out and you're gonna have a great time. There's so much. It's kind of like Vegas here. You know, there's like everything you can do in Vegas, except for the gambling. But everything you can do in Vegas, they got here. You know, nice restaurants. They got entertainment. You got bars where you can just go hang out, have a drink, and just socialize. And of course, there's the little gay neighborhood where I went, which is like a whole nother world because I had never really gone in there and like hung out in the cabaret. I mean, it's just like, it's just not something that I, you know, would have thought to do. But my girlfriend was like, when I was there with my improv buddies, we were walking around in there because there's like cannabis shops and there's restaurants and food stalls, you know, it's all mixed together, right? So we're walking around in there and I noticed one of the guys was like, he just was just staring at the show. These ladyboy dancers, the drag show. And he was just like mesmerized, right? It's like, yeah. And I know he's got a girlfriend and married. So I was just like, but he was just like, and now that I went, I know what he was. It's just, it's mesmerizing. It's like, it's just like,
it's
like, wow.
Captivating.
It's captivating. It's captivating. It really is. And, you know, I can't wait to go back and see it because they were really putting on this whole show, you know, like, you know, with costumes and choreography, you know, on this little stage, but it was like costumes and choreography. And, you know, the one, I figured it out. It took me a minute to figure it out, but the one was like Lady Gaga. And then there was one that was like, she was like Cher. And then there was
Have you ever been to a drag show?
No, not like this. I've never. Are you crazy? In LA, would I go? And have mom find out or one of my friends in LA? No. But here it's just like, I was like, yeah, let's go. I want to go check this out. I want to see what's so mesmerizing. And
I was in a bar in Nashville, Tennessee. And I was going to the men's room and it was one of the one holers in this big club. And I opened the door. It wasn't locked. And there was a lady boy, drag queen, whatever, in a mini skirt and fishnets, and the gal was probably 6.5 feet tall, and she was trying to pull down her mini skirt, and it was, I swear to God, it had to be an entire roll of black electrical tape around her. I was like, first I was like, ah! And then I was like, I always wondered how you contoured
the you know, the one girl that I guess she's like the star of this thing. I call them girls. It's a girl. It's a guy, but it's a girl. The girl. And she was wearing this like leotard thing. And my girlfriend was saying, oh, she's in her broken English, she's saying she's cut, you know, she's post op. You know, it's been removed. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I was like, I think it's, no, I don't think.
It's just really small.
I go, it's just, it's tucked away. It's put away.
With black electrical tape.
With whatever, I don't know, with whatever they do, however they do it. But I said, she's like, no, she's cut. I said, no. Because that would defeat the whole purpose of the whole thing is that it's a,
you have so much to learn, Mike. You need to do a segment on your show on the Mike's Madness about is she or isn't she? Because you couldn't do that here now because everybody would be like, eh. But because I think it's friggin' hilarious, man. Is she or isn't she? You be the judge.
Well, that could be, yeah.
On South Beach. There was the Cameo Theater. I had lived there for so many years, but it was so much fun back in, you know, the early 90s, late 80s. But the Cameo Theater had a huge old theater that they just took the seats out of the bottom, and they had, you know, it was a dance club, but it was freaking awesome. And I can't remember what night of the week it was, but it was, you know, the gay night, the boys' night, you know. And I was tripping my ass off. Yes, I'll say it, on real ecstasy, not this crap you kids are doing today, with a buddy of mine. And we go in, and it wasn't very crowded, but at that time, I don't know if they still are because I don't get to clubs, but these guys had like this troop of, they had these giant ornate fans, and they did these routines, you know, like ding, 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 except it was just dudes in jeans, but they were talented and very good. And they were like, but they do these fan dances, right, to the disco music. And I was so, I ran outside, I jumped in a cab, and the cab took me to my apartment, which was like a block away, ran into the bedroom, picked up my old square plastic box fan with all the dust in it, and jetted back to the club, ran out on the dance floor with all the guys going, nin, 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 and I joined their line with my box fan. Get it? They're like with their fans, and I was twirling it around the court, hitting people. And fortunately, the manager who I knew, he's like, Bob, take your fan and get the hell out of here. And I was like, I'm a nickel for every time somebody told me that.
destined for improv comedy. There you go. Right? It's like,
yeah. Do you now? You're going to continue with, I know you're concentrating on Mike's Madness. Yay. But are you still going to keep your toe in the water of improv and stand up and that sort of thing?
Well, right now I'm not dealing with the improv group right now. I'm like, we've got some differences, let's just say, some creative differences.
Understood. Because so, I was going to say, I didn't know if we want to talk about this on air, because I don't know what your experience was. But can I be frank with you about mine?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
I'm not dogging anyone. My experience at the Groundlings was in the three classes that I took, very expensive classes, by the way, that so many people, a lot of people in my classes, they were trying so hard to be funny. You know, and, you know, yes, and yes, and yes, and, but when it came to, they're like 70% of the people in my classes, they were just so, their personality was so strong that it kind of sucked the fun. And you know me, man, I'll say anything to anybody, anytime, anywhere. I have no problem, and I know when to stop or try to, you know, and, but yeah. So when I auditioned, you know, you had to audition to get into the third level, and I just kind of stood there, and the girl comes up with her little clipboard, and she goes, I'm sorry. No, excuse me. It was for the fourth one, because I said, she goes, you know, I'm sorry, but you just weren't, you know, fine. And I go, listen, I wish I had a cigarette. I was like, listen, toots, I already did one, two, an intro. And she was like, yeah. And she goes, and I was like, yeah, I was just bored with everybody. But yeah, I just felt like there was too much. Nobody, at any rate, it wasn't fun for me.
It wasn't fun for you to play the game.
But doing improv is a blast. It's a blast, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm not dogging the Groundlings. It was my own personal, because some of my favorite people, the favorite comedians, and Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, Groundling, Paul Rubens, Pee-wee, God rest his soul.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I think of it that the most of the improv actors that I was working with at Second City that I came in contact with, They seem to be more interested in the acting than the comedy, and that's just my
I think that's what I'm trying to say, Michael. I think that's what I'm trying to say. They were more interested. I get it. They were more interested in dramatics in the interaction, instead of really going for the fun, you know, the comedy in it.
Yeah, I feel like they were using improv in Second City as learning improv comedy, as just to have another tool in their tool belt. Like, you know, I've done improv, like, but their main focus was more like acting, like getting an acting role, like not so much being a comedian or being funny, but more like, this is going to help me in my acting career. And then there was a few people in there, like me in my class, there was like a hand out of the 10 or 12 people in the class, there was a handful of us, maybe three or four of us that were really like funny, you know, that were like, we would say funny lines. We would do funny, more on a comedy level than just on an acting level. And so I kind of feel like improv comedy, Second City, Groundlings, whatever, should lead you somewhere. That's not, improv is not, you know, you don't become an improv actor. Like, I'm an improv actor. It's like, no, you become something else, and improv gets you there, either.
Right.
Improv,
you gets improvise you there. Into your career.
It gets you into whatever you're going to, it's going to help you, whatever you're going to do. So,
yeah, but absolutely. It definitely helped me. Absolutely.
I feel like some people, they take it too seriously. Like they're improv.
That's what I was trying to say. They were taking it way too seriously. It
becomes pretentious and like, oh, you're. And that's something
for me. Exactly.
Like it's Shakespeare or it's some, you know, and when it gets to that, I just go, you know what? It's not fun anymore. If
that's precisely what I was trying to say, Mike. Exactly. It's like I did this play on South Beach called Oogies, and we'll talk about it the next time we're on. But it was this play, and it was my first time back. And Tomato DuPlenty, if you guys don't know who he is, Google him. The most wonderful guy in the world, God rest his soul. It's this theater group, Art Act Theater, on Española Way. JC Carroll, hi JC, Colleen, anyway. The Herald reviewed the play and they called us horrendous because we were. So I come running into the theater and I was just nobody. And I have a copy of the Miami Herald and all the real, at that time I wasn't an actor. You know, I'm an actor and a comedian, which means I'm a bartender. Anyway, I come running in the theater, like, you know, with the review and I go, we're horrendous. And all the actors are like, oh my God, who are you? You know, because I was good. And I go, hey, they reviewed us. We're horrendous. That's a good thing. The theater was packed every night after that because everybody wanted to come and see what the horrendous part was. What was so horrendous? We had frontal nudity and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Mikey, we're getting to that time where we have to wrap it up. Let's talk about Mike's Madness again. Give us the whole breakdown again so our viewers can watch you and listen to you.
Okay. Mike's Madhouse. You got to tune in. I got classic rock. I got crazy talk. I got shout outs. I got dedications. I got wacky requests. And we got contests. We got prizes. We got everything. We got bar girls. We've got lady boys. We got it all. Right in the studio, on the air, on the radio, on BKK1Radio.com every Tuesday at 1 p.m. You can tune in. You're gonna get classic rock and crazy talk and more of what you just had. I just had with Bob. You're gonna get with me on Mike's Madhouse.
Yay, Mike! Michael Sandoval.
Tuesdays at 1 p.m.
I'm so proud of you.
And of course, Bob Dean is on the air when.
Thursdays at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time in the good old US of A.
Yes.
On LA Talk Radio.
On LA Talk Radio. So you got to tune into that and don't miss the Bob Dean Show.
You are such a, look at you going on and on. You're a friggin' natural, man.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be on the Bob Dean Show. I'm so happy to promote Mike's Madhouse. I'm so happy to be playing music and entertaining people on BKK1Radio.com. It's just it's more than I ever imagined. I didn't plan on this. I never planned to come to Thailand to have such a great time. I mean, I knew I was going to have a great time, but I didn't know I was going to have this.
This is why I'm so proud of you, dude, because when Dennis and I sat with you at Felipe's French Dip, and I thought, oh my God, Mike's going to be telling us and showing us pictures. I didn't think like that, but I'm like, he was there for a while, so he's probably going to have a lot of pictures. And when you sat down, we were there for what, 3 hours? And you were just flowing with such a good energy about it, you know, and that's what got us excited about it. And you're blossoming even more than, you know, damn, You know what you're missing in L.A.?
What am I missing? Nothing. Nothing. You know, my daughter came to visit in September. My daughter came to visit Jabron. Hi, Jabron. And she posted on her Facebook, she said to her all her friends, she said, "You will accidentally love it here."
Perfect. That's what everybody says. Damn it.
And it's truth. It's the truth. So I can't wait for you to come out. I can't wait for you to come out. You and Dennis come out for vacation. We're going to have a great time. We're going to go see all the shows. We're going to do everything. You're going to come on Mike's Madhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I come as a lady boy?
What's that?
Can I come as a lady boy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. I love you, Sandoval.
Hey, you know, it's great.
We'll do this again.
It's great to be on your show. Thank you so much for letting me come on. And
thank you for being my guest star.
And you're gonna send in some clips. I'll let you know what I'm looking for, and you're gonna go out and you're gonna be my man in LA. Hello. My man on the street, Bob Dean, my Bob on the street. You'll be my Bob on the street, and
I'll be bobbing on the street.
You'll be bobbing on the street from LA, and I'll play your clip every show. I'll have my bobbing on the street, and we'll play your rant.
Sounds good. All right, Michael.
Sounds good.
Take care, Bob. Right now. What time is it there? 3 a.m.?
Yeah, it's almost 4 a.m.
All right, well, get some sleep.
I'm going to get some sleep and then start all over again tomorrow.
All right, baby. I love you. Love all you, right, your daughter and everybody. And good, Michael Sandoval, thank you. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you all for viewing the Bob Dean Show on LA Talk Radio, 12 noon on Thursdays. And please feel free to... I was going to try and think of something clever to wrap it up with, but I just didn't do it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good
one. Have a nice day. Thanks, Sam. Bye.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.